John chapter 5. As we've been going through the book of John, we looked last week when our Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Those men were mad at him. The Jews sought the more to kill him, not only because he broke the Sabbath, not just because he had healed this man at that pool and told him, "Take up your bed and walk." And that man obeyed God because he believed him and he did what he said. He said, not just because you broke the Sabbath, but that he was making himself equal with God. And the Lord Jesus Christ replies to him, "You make yourself equal with God," is what they're saying. And he says, "Let me make this verily, verily clear. I am God." That's what he told them. He didn't hem all around. He didn't skirt the bush. He didn't go roundabout way of explaining it. He met them head on. And he said, "The Son can't do nothing but the Father." And people say, "Well," and whenever Christ said, "I come to this earth not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me," people say, "Well, there's two wills there." No, it's not. That's one. His will is the same as the Father. Both of them are one. They're the same. He's not a complete separate entity that has a different desire. He desires what the Father desires. Well, the Father loves him. He loves the Father. But this evening, I want to look at one verse. Verse 24. And I want us to go back to grade school. I pray I can be very simple, and I pray that I can be very plain. And in my text, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a powerful truth. It's a triple truth. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And he does this in a single compound sentence. It ain't hard to miss, is it? Those men say, "Well, he could have meant this. Well, he could have meant that." Well, you ain't going to miss this one. He's going to tell us one sentence. He says there in verse 24, John 5, 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me, on him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." There's many aspects of the gospel. There's many things for us to learn and for us to understand. On this earth, while we walk in this body of death, while we're here, we're not going to understand it all, and we're not going to learn it all. It ain't going to happen. We're going to see through that glass darkly, dimly. We ain't going to get a good hold on everything. But our Lord never corrected a person's entire theological position in one go, did he? He taught one thing at a time. He taught one thing at a time. He said, in John 16, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Boy, we think we can bear them, don't we? I can handle it. I want to learn some more. No, we can't. Christ said, God said, you can't handle it now. He says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, God the Holy Ghost has come, he will guide you into all truth." You're going to know all truth. You're going to see Christ in all things because he's going to guide you. Little by little, he'll take you by the hand and escort you right through this, right to Christ, right to truth. That's where he's going to take you. A person's not born grown up. We know that. We have babies, we have children. They're little. But your body, you grow. And you grow in understanding, you grow in knowledge, you learn how to speak, you learn the language, you grow in understanding and wisdom, and you grow in maturity as a human being, don't you? We can see that left and right. One of God's children, they're not born of flesh and blood, but they're born of God and the Spirit of God. And just like that physical example we have all around us. You're not born at 55 years old in Christ. You're babes in Christ. That's how you come in. We all come in the same. There's life, but it's got a long way to go. It's part of the family. It's loved by those in the family. It's looked after. It's fed. Someone defends it. But if there's life, there is growth. If there's life, there grows. And it takes a lifetime to reach maturity. That growth's painful sometimes, but if there's life, there's growth. Anything that's alive, it grows. We went and looked at them big old trees up north. And they grow so high, and they stop growing high. And then they grow out so far, and then they'll stop growing out. But if they're alive, there's still fruit, there's still leaves coming every year. And there's growth If it's alive, there's growth. This is podium I'm on right here. This is wood. That's the same wood that's growing out there. But this ain't growing. This is dead. It doesn't produce anything. It doesn't grow. It's dead. You get that? That tree's alive. There's growth. In what's dead, there's no growth. The main objective of our Lord's ministry and work on this earth is laid out here in one verse. And the proof of that work's laid out. And the results of that work is laid out. He came to give life to dead sinners. That's where it hits us. He came to honor the Father. He came to fulfill the law. He came to do all those things. But in doing so, He came to give life to dead sinners. He said in John 10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly." Oh, His abundance is something. He came to save His people from their sins. He came to give them life abundant. Eternal life is what He came to give them. And where there's life, there is evidence of life. Just like those trees. Just like children. Just like honeybees. Just like anything. If there's life, there's evidence of life. And where God does a work, there's a work that's been done. He don't make a painting in invisible ink. If you're His workmanship, there's proof there. God's sheep will hear our Lord's word tonight, and I pray He comforts their heart. I hope He speaks comfortably to the heart. Speaks to their heart. Others may listen and be angry. Others may listen and even take notes. I didn't get these flip-flops. We was talking on the way here. I'm pretty tired, pretty wore out this week. And I think I got that completely backwards in my notes. There are note-taking goats. Did you know that? There's goats that take notes. I've watched that happen. They're chameleons. There's people that come in and they hear these things and they get these checklists of what believers do and they memorize them and they regurgitate it and they you think there's a sheep. They blend right in. They play both sides of the fence. We'd read that in our scripture reading in Luke 6. It says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." People Christ is talking about there, they brag on you the same as they brag on the false prophets. There's no difference in them. They get along just as fine here as they get along just as fine everywhere else. Nobody hates them. They can sit down and ain't nobody against them. Well, Brother Darvin Pruitt recently preached on that passage we read. He said, "They say enough to be commended by believers, but they leave off enough so as not to offend the world." They really don't say anything. They're friends with everybody. This is going to be plain and true, what we're going to look at tonight. This isn't something that can be misconstrued. It's not something that we can say the kind of the right thing close enough to get along with everybody. Our Lord's plain. He says in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," 113 times in this Holy Scripture, the word "verily" is used. And 25 occasions, it's 25 different verses in the book of John. I think we're going to go through them maybe here in 2 weeks, but I got to keep it down to a minute. A minute a verse. 25 verses in John, and this is the only book out of 66 books that the Lord uses this. Verily, verily. He says verily throughout. But in John, He says verily, verily. What a precious thing. What attention we should give that. The Hebrew word means true faithfulness, and it means amen. The Greek word for verily means firm, trustworthy, sure, and amen. He says, "Amen, amen, I speak unto you." We do just the exact opposite, don't we? We see the promises of God. We speak of the promises of God to one another. And His words, His faithfulness, His truth. And then we say amen after. He ain't like us. God in human flesh is speaking here. And He says amen before He speaks. That's how sure it is. That's how true it is. That's how faithful and trustworthy it is. The great I am says amen. And it's right because He says it. We don't take what we think's right and lay God down next to it and see if He matches up. We check what we think's right against Him. He's the one that is right. He doesn't say what's right. What He says is right. It's because He said it. Can we pay attention to what He has to say? He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word, comma, he that heareth my word. Life's not given because of baptism. Eternal life's not given because you take an infant and sprinkle water on it, or because you take an adult and you scare them to death from hell and get them to get into a baptistry, or because they get a little pledge card, or because of some nonsense. It doesn't come by water. Life's not given by religious ceremony. I have a dedication time, and every day I give 15 minutes to God, so that means I'm alive. No. By devoting a certain amount of time a day to a good cause. I work at a charity, or you go into a box and you confess your sin to a man that separates you from God. No, that's not right. Life's not given because of church attendance. I never miss church service. That's not how you get life. Life's not given by sacraments. You know what sacraments are? We don't hand out sacraments when we take the Lord's Supper. I call them elements. Sacraments is something that imparts grace. People think if you take this physically and you eat this physical bread and you eat this, drink this physical wine, that somehow grace is then entered into you. I did something. I took the Lord's table and I didn't die right then. So He must have gave me some life. I chose to get life for myself. That's not it. You can eat the Lord's Supper, not the Lord's dinner. You can eat the Lord's Supper until you have a heart attack and it ain't going to put life in you. But He did say in John 6, didn't He? He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you." How do we feed on Christ? His Word. We feed on His Word. His Word to us. Life's not given by seeing a supposed image of Christ on a bagel. That was a big thing a couple years ago, wasn't it? They'd see Mother Mary in a piece of toast or something. And I said, "Well, I must be a child of God. He sent this to me. Or I got a fortune cookie or some nonsense." It's not seeing a statue cry tears of blood. I saw a great miracle. I saw this wonderful thing happen. I saw clouds in the sky. It's not given by obedience to the law. But we'd all be in trouble if it was. If He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you keep my law, you'll live," every one of us is going to die. You ain't going to make judgment. It ain't going to work out. It doesn't say that a person has an experience, a dream, a wooshy-gooshy warm feeling, that they have eternal life. It says, "He that heareth my word." He that heareth my word. Not some word. Not any old word. He that heareth my word. That's who's going to have life. Turn over to Jeremiah 23. We'll look at it. I've heard a lot of people say throughout the years. I mean a bunch of them. And they say, "Well, I was saved. I have no idea what they're preaching. It may have been not totally right." That's how they phrase it. They don't know if it's truth or it's a lie. But whenever I was brought to know the doctrines of grace later, I was saved, but then I came to learn about this Christ fellow people talk about. Or some will say their children have moved off and, "Well, they're not attending a church that preaches the truth always. They're not really preaching, but I'm just glad they're in church. I ain't. They'd be better off at a football game." Look here in Jeremiah 23, verse 28. "The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully." Nothing else. "What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces?" Isn't that what His Word does to your heart? If He's done a work in you, didn't it crush you? Didn't it just shatter you and tear you all to pieces? And you just cried out, "God, save me. I have no hope of myself. I'm shattered. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor." They just say what they heard. "Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith." He's against the prophets that use their mouths. He didn't use their mouth. They're not his mouthpiece. But they're saying, "Oh, God wants this. God says that. God thinks this." And He's trying. "Behold, I am..." This is verse 32. "Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them." Lord didn't send them. "Therefore, they shall not profit this people much. That ain't what it says, is it? They shall not profit this people at all. Kevin, I don't think that's fair, saith the Lord. Can a man be saved underneath a false gospel? Don't matter what Kevin Thacker thinks, God says no. It will not profit my people. It ain't going to do it. Our Lord said, he that heareth my word, not that somebody that listened to a message, or somebody that heard an evangelist, or you know what, I listened to that certain preacher. Everybody likes that one preacher. Everybody knows them. Wrote a bunch of books. I've been underneath him. I heard him preach 4 or 5 times. I liked hearing him. I liked listening to him. Boy, it's just, he's loud. Not he that readeth the word. I read the Bible every day. There's people. Wasn't Nicodemus a teacher, a ruler, an expert in Israel? He that heareth my word, the truth, is who's going to have eternal life. Isaiah 55:3 says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. That eunuch was reading away, wasn't he? Reading out loud. Here come Philip. He said, you know what you're talking about? He said, how could I? You know what verse could have been plainer? He didn't get it. He had to hear, didn't he? Not just physical ears, though that comes. He had to hear in his heart. Christ had to speak to his heart. There's evidence of those that hear the Lord. There's evidence to it. The Lord spoke to Lazarus, didn't he? Lazarus, come forth. Did Lazarus say, boy, I heard you. He got up and came forth, didn't he? He obeyed the word of God. Samuel. The Lord came to Samuel by now and said, Samuel, Samuel. He went and woke Eli up. He said, what you want? He said, I don't want you. Go back to bed, son. You bother me. Get out of here. They went back to bed. Samuel, Samuel, he heard it. And he come to Eli again. Eli, what you want? I keep hearing you call my name. He said, son, that ain't me. That's the Lord calling you. Boy, couldn't we learn something from that? Kevin, you're picking on me. You're shooting arrows at me. What did Eli tell Samuel? That's God talking to you. If it's according to His word, it ain't me. That's the Lord talking to you. Then he come a third time. Samuel, Samuel. And he said, here's your servant, Lord. I hear you. Tell me what to do. I hear you. He didn't know God before. It says he didn't know God. He was directed to the Lord by the Lord's prophet. And he heard. He heard. Went to go call on a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. God's prophet said, I don't really want to go down there. I know about this man. Are you sure, Lord? I'll go. But he said, behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. Now he's able to, isn't he? He wasn't before. Paul worked this backwards. He did what we used to call backwards planning in the military. Let's look at it over in Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Again in verse 13. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're going to call on Him. Those that believe the word, those that heard Him, heard His voice, they will call on Him. Verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You've got to believe in and call on Him. And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? You can't believe unless you heard something. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to tell you this. You can't figure it out on your own. You ain't going to sit down with the Bible and something else and read it. And well, I got some insight. They ain't no apostles nowadays. Men's out writing their own epistles, these general letters to the public and thinking God spoke to them. They're heinous liars. And how shall they preach except they be sent? The foolishness of preaching. That's one mercy beggar telling another mercy beggar where he found bread. God used a sinful earthen vessel that you can find a whole lot of dirt on. And you ain't going to look for. And he saved him by grace to come tell others, say, God saved me by grace. Yeah, but I'm bad. Me too. And he saved sinners. That's who he came to save. People say, that's foolishness. I can figure this out on my own. God says no. Verse 17. So then faith, that believing on him, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He that heareth my word. But I say, have they not heard? And everybody heard this? Don't we put it out? We're in a 27 countries and 17,000 downloads and everything else. Ain't there enough people heard this? So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the end of the world. People listen. People listen to the gospel. People listen to music too, don't they? And it goes in one ear and out the other. But very few people hear. Whole mess of people listen to the gospel. Millions, however many. Few people hear. I wonder how many people have truly heard the word of the Lord. How many have heard Christ the word? I mean heard Him. Not just listened to Him. Not said, well, that's okay. I don't disagree with that logically and according to my checklist and my deductive reasoning, it matches the scriptures. But they heard a person in their heart. He spoke to their heart. If they have, there's proof. They believe. They believe. Turn over 1 Thessalonians 1. There's proof of that hearing. There's proof of that believing. 1 Thessalonians 1. Verse 4. First Thessalonians 1:4. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Period. How did Paul know that? For our gospel came not unto you in word only, not just a man talking, not just something could hear, but in power. Also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord. How could you follow a man? Well, if that man's following the Lord, we're walking side by side, ain't we? Having received the word in much affliction. Boy, it's painful. It's painful. It burns. It crushes. It hurts when we see ourselves. When God truly convicts of sin. If God, the Holy Spirit, convicts us of sin, it's going to be bloody. This ain't something we're going to blow up a kiddie pool and start dunking people left and right. And everybody's saying kumbaya. There's going to be some pain and some tears coming. Much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Boy, that pain, that balm of Gilead comes right in, don't it? That healing comes in. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. I ain't got to tell nobody about that. Lord knows that Lord's people know that He saved you. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had into you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And what else? And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You wait for that one that saved you. You wait for that first love that come to you and loved you first. And you look for Him. I've said that a lot lately. They said, Kevin, you got 2 months to live. Good, I'm going to see my Lord. Maybe He'll still come in the next month. Maybe He'll still come tomorrow. Look for Him. Wait for Him. That one we first loved. Look over in chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth. It's not just because some man said it. It's not because I'm a witness, but you heard it in truth. Christ spoke to you. The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. All those are present participles. It's. He that heareth, he that believeth, he hath, it worketh. Because it ain't a once go. I was 12 years old and the Lord saved me. And I believed Him. Well, what about now? This ain't a life insurance policy you pay one time for and you're good. And that's not a whole life policy. This is something you believe on. Believeth. You heareth. Because you heard it once, you've got to hear it again. You ain't like that raven that can leave the ark and never come back and be fine. That's that dove that has to come back. And it comes back with that olive branch in its mouth with nothing but peace. Peace. Christ our peace. It's all on its mouth. It has to. Back in our text from John 5. Verse 24 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. I don't have time to give this example really, but I don't get too excited about dead folks. Down there in Mayfield, Kentucky right now, Kimberly's aunt and uncle, they've trained search dogs for FEMA, and they're down there looking for dead bodies on that candle factory. And they got lights and sirens and bullhorns and technology. Oh, they got infrared, forward-looking infrared, looking for people and stuff like that. And they're pulling out dead bodies. And it just reminds me of religion. And they're taking those cold dead bodies and they're cleaning up those cold dead bodies and putting clothes on them. And they're lining up next to all the other cold dead bodies. And that's how they are. They're cold, clean, and dead. Looks good on the outside, don't it? And they got a lot of bells and whistles going on. A lot of things. That's just dead works religion. That don't excite me. Don't excite me at all. I don't get pumped up about that. It hurts me, saddens me. But if they was to go through all that rubble and they just heard a cry, help, save me. Ooh. Well, we can get excited now because there's life. There's life. Do I believe God? Why did our Lord say, believe on him that sent me? He says later in John, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. We looked at this last week. They're one, ain't they? They're one and the same. The three are one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are the triune God. And when Christ said, I come down and do my will, not my own will, but the will of him that sent me, doesn't mean they have different wills. It means they're one and the same. He that hears my word and believes hath everlasting life. If I believe God, and he said, if I believed him, and he said, 10 seconds from now there's going to be a big anvil fall through this roof right here. But I'd just say, yes, Lord. A chicken's got a head that big and got enough sense to get out of the rain, don't it? Call that an implied task. If you believe the Lord, you obey him. You answer his word. Man's responsibility is our response to his ability. Our response to his word. And we believe him. We believe him. Noah was given a new heart because God was gracious to him. And God spoke to him. And he believed God. And the Lord said, Noah, build an ark. And what did Noah do? He went and built an ark. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. And I love them. And they follow me. What's a sheep do? They follow the shepherd. They do it, don't they? Abraham believed God. He didn't just believe in God. The devil believes in God. He believed God, and it was counted to him from righteousness. And he was out there in Ur of the Chaldees, and the Lord spoke to him and said, pack up and get to walking. And Abraham packed up and got to walking. And then years later, he had a real trial of his life, his only son. And the Lord said, in that there is where your seed's going to come from. Look out and count them stars. That's going to be your seed. Now, take that son, take him up on a hill just like your heathen parents did, and kill him. I want you to sacrifice him to me. And Abraham grabbed that boy and started walking up the hill. People mocked him, made fun of him. What you doing? Oh, he's turned back to work. So I don't know what Abraham's doing. He didn't care. would that hurt that boy? It's going to cause some pain, isn't it? He's going to kill him quick, but it's going to hurt. But he believed God. What was going to happen? He didn't know. God was going to raise him, or he didn't know what was going to happen. But he believed God, and he acted on it, didn't he? He got to walking. Why is a believer baptized? Why do we get baptized? They believe the Word of God. Not just what's written down in a book somewhere. They believe Christ. That's why they're baptized. Why do we take His supper? He says, often you do this in remembrance of me. Because we remember Him, who we've heard, who we believe, who we trust on. He says in verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, they're one and the same, hath. H-A-T-H, present participle, right now. Not you could have it, not you might have it, not you may have it someday, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What's that everlasting life? It's quality, not the quantity. Man's worried death about the quantity of it. How long is this going to last? I can't count that high. No, it's the quality of it. It's the life of who gave it to you. That's what's so special about that everlasting life. You can listen to His Word, you can believe in God, and you can have everlasting damnation. What is it whenever you hear Him and you believe Him? You hath right now and forevermore. That's why you got ears to hear. That's why you have the faith to believe. That's what believing is. It's faith. You hath everlasting life right now. You heareth. You believeth. You trusteth on Him. It doesn't change. It doesn't come and go. What's that going to mean? If somebody hears the Lord, not listens to Him, if they hear Him, what happens if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and not just believe that the man came here, but I believe Him. I believe what He says, and I do what He says. I want to be an obedient child because I love Him. What's going to happen? That'll mean more to you than your spouse. That'll mean more to you than your parents. That'll mean more to you than them precious little children you got sitting right there. I've seen people leave churches, I mean, several times, because somebody offended their children. I guess they never heard "I'm sorry" or an apology. Sort these things out. What's wrong with you? Mom used to make us hug. Do y'all ever have to hug? Me and my siblings, she said, "If y'all don't knock it out, I'm going to make y'all hug." I hugged a bunch. I'm a hugger now. People leave it, get mad. Well, you said my mom and daddy ain't heaven right now. Well, I didn't say that. The Lord may have said it to you. Maybe it's Him speaking. I may be like Eli. It's the Lord that's speaking. That's why I can't listen to that. Maybe you just listened. You didn't hear. If you hear Him, if you believe Him, that's the most important thing that will ever be everlastingly. I hope them other things don't happen. I hope I don't lose my family and my friends. I've lost a bunch of them already. But the most important thing will be Him. It'll be a person. What's the promise to those given life? Those that have ears to hear, the faith to believe. It says they shall not come into condemnation. A better translation, that's judgment. You ain't going to come into judgment. And let me tell you, people don't understand what judgment is. You don't want no part of it. To the children of God, you ain't going to see judgment. You scared to die? Scared to have all your sins laid out there and have to answer for them? Your blood won't do. Your works won't do. Throw it out the window. If you face judgment, if you die and meet a holy God, you ain't going to make it. But those that hear Him, those that believe Him, those that have everlasting life, there's no judgment. You ain't going to come into it. It's done. How could that be? How could that be? If all of mankind outside of Christ is going to be at this throne of judgment that Christ is going to sit on, how do I get around that? How could that be? But they're passed from death. Judgment settled in Christ unto life. How'd that happen? Man lives right here in this world. This microphone's judgment, and here's eternal life. You're going to come through, and you're going to meet that judgment, and you're going to go to eternal damnation, condemnation. But when Christ came here, He was made His people, and He satisfied the wrath of God. He satisfied the justice and judgment of God, the holy God, for His people, our substitute. That's done. I forgot to look up some. Jeffrey Dahmer's a good one. I was thinking of a serial killer or something. Right now, you go to Jeffrey Dahmer and you charge him with everything he's done wrong. You go out to him and read everything everybody ever killed, everything he ever done, every red light he ever run. There ain't no charge to him. Why? He's dead. Judgment's over. He can't be punished again. There's no double jeopardy. Christ bore the sin of His people. He bore the wrath of God for His people. He bore the judgment and the guilt for His people. And because of that, we've passed. From death in this world, He come to us, spoke to us, gave us life, must be born again, gave us ears to hear, faith to believe Him, perseverance, faith to believe Him, faith to live in this world, and faith to die looking to Him. And you're going to wake up and you're going to start living. That's when we're going to be alive. We're in the womb right now, womb of this world. We're going to be come to an everlasting eternity, like in the face of His likeness, being conformed to His image. What a thought that'd be. Who gets the glory for that one sentence? Verily, verily, I say unto you, and none could say any, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Work's done. I just want to praise him. Do you? I want to thank him. My heart's broke. Look at how much he loved us. Oh, one that's so worthy of praise. That's something. All right.